Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay from the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess Misty Hall and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So, good evening, Misty. How are you?
Good evening, Bonnie. I'm good. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. Getting ready for the big Freedom Weekend next weekend for July 4th.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
We have some really exciting guests next week. On our next week's show, we're, you know, I think to bring a lot of sparks to our show, we'll have our own set of fireworks next Sunday night. But we're really, you know, excited that we're going to have our guest back, Patsy Ray Dawson. And if you remember, Patsy did a great job when she was with us a couple months ago. And she works with Christian women who are in sexually dysfunctional marriages, which include marriages where there's a gay husband who doesn't want to have sex with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And Patsy really helped us as far as, you know, explaining to women scripturally why this is not a real marriage. And, you know, she's going to come back. So if any of you do have questions next week, you know, she'll be happy to answer them for you. She's been working with couples for years, and she has a wonderful publication. And it's called Embarrass the Alligator, and she'll talk a little bit about that. And Patsy's about to launch her own show once a week. So we're going to be helping her do that. So we're really excited that, you know, Patsy's going to be joining us. And also, we're going to have another special guest who's a therapist out in the Reno, Nevada area. And her name is Janice Maddox. And Janice will be talking to us a lot about women's issues. And a lot of times when we meet women, as we're very well aware, they're not in the best of mental health going through these marriages. It really strips you of your self-esteem and your sexual esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about why these marriages really are abusive. So Janice will be our second part of the, you know, our guest for the second half of the show next week. So we're really excited about that. You know, that will be our July 4th special show for the holiday. And we hope that everybody will be joining us next Sunday. If you don't have other plans with your family, are you a person who likes to go out on July 4th, Misty?
I usually do something with fireworks and a few friends, nothing huge. I'm not a huge party girl. You know, I do enjoy being with friends and people that mean something to me and, you know, seeing the going out to the community and just seeing the different festivities, but nothing huge. I usually turn in early.
Well, if anybody would like to join us and talk tonight, and tell us what's going on with you or ask us any questions, I'm going to give you our guest call-in number. So get a pencil handy, and we'd love to have you call in and voice whatever questions you have or opinions on the things that we'll be discussing. Our call-in number is area code 646-716-4893. And I'll repeat that number again. It's area code 646-716-4893. And we'd really enjoy you calling in. We always love to hear from you. We get wonderful feedback in the means of email from you. You can always email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. And you can always go to my website at gayhusbands.com. And, of course, Misty's website at mistyhall.com.
That's correct.
Correct, Misty?
Mm-hmm.
MISTIHALL.com. And we're always happy to hear from you that way. Or if you would like to call in, and we'd like to say hello to all of our listeners, because, once again, we get so much wonderful feedback each week from women all over the world, not just in this country, but our sisters in Canada, in Australia, in the United Kingdom. Some of the Arab countries listen in. We get letters from people in Africa, you know, South America, that this problem is just such a universal problem. India, China, you know, in some countries where there's not much you can do about the problem, you just have to live with it because of the social and cultural norms. And that's the saddest part of all, is that when we find women who really are stuck in a loveless marriage or a marriage that will never be fulfilling, and there's nothing they can do about it, that, you know, I find that pretty sad, don't you, Misty?
Absolutely. It's just, this whole situation is, you know, for the past month, I've really got a surge of inquiries, you know, due to my website, and I'm sure you see it come in cycles as well sometimes. You know, sometimes it's more than others. And it's just so terrible. I mean, these women, just like yourself, that reach out to us, they're from around the world. It crosses all, you know, it crosses all religions, it crosses all cultures, it crosses all your economic status. I don't care, you know, where you're at on that rung, it doesn't matter. I mean, it crosses everything. And it's when you realize it and discover it, it can be quite traumatizing. It really can be. It's not anything easy to go through. It's a grief situation at best. And as we've discussed on here before, it's actually more complicated than death, because you have so many layers to unravel, and you try to make sense of something that it's hard to make sense of.
I think at least death is final, and you're able to grieve, and you're able to get past it. But in these kinds of situations, especially where there's children, it doesn't matter how much you grieve, you're still tied in together, right?
Absolutely. We're still tied in together, and it's not easy to work that out. Even though we have some clients that actually go to therapy during the divorce to make it easier on the children, and I love it when I hear those stories, you know, to make sure that they're taking the burden off the children. So, but if that's not every case, you know, there's a lot of ones out there that try to go this alone, and as you and I have discussed with women and men, I don't recommend it. You know, it's why reinvent the wheel when there's others that's gone through it before. You know, reach out for support, some good solid support.
Yeah, I think support is the best thing that you could possibly do in a situation like this, because you do feel so isolated and alone. And by finding others who can relate to every feeling you have, it's like in our chat room when people say, well, I have friends and I have family, and they try to be supportive, but they just don't get it. They don't understand it. They don't, you know, feel the same way I feel. That, you know, they're so happy to find us, because in our chat room, you don't even have to say anything. People know how you feel before you even say it, because it's a unique, complicated type of experience. And unless you've lived it, it's really hard to understand it.
Exactly.
So I'm so glad that we have so much help and support available, including my newsletters, Misty's coaching. You know, we have my get-together coming up in September, where straight wives can meet together and really bond together as a sense of support. We had a wonderful time in Florida last year. We're going to have an even better time this year in Philadelphia. And, you know, it's so important to reach out for that help. And don't feel like you have to do this by yourself, because you can trust me, your husband's not doing it by himself. You know, the gay community offers lots of support for gay married men, but, you know, you have to really go looking for it for the women. But once you find us, you don't have to look any further. You'll find it. So, Misty, I just wanted to make a couple comments. Today was Gay Pride Parade Day in New York, and I don't know if you saw any news on it, but there were tens of thousands of people who were celebrating this in the streets of New York. And, of course, you know, they said the biggest turnout because of the fact that on Friday night, the bill was signed for gay marriages in New York State.
I saw that.
And Governor Cuomo was there. He was the hero of the day because he signed the final bill. And so tens of thousands of people came out, you know, to celebrate, you know, this fact. And I think it's a wonderful thing that gay people can get married. I'm very pro-gay marriage. I'm just not pro-gay straight marriage. I'm very anti that. But I am very much in favor of gay people being able to marry each other, because it shows, in a sense, that there is some societal acceptance of gay people, you know, because so many of them are always living with that battle about being, you know, not gay, because they feel embarrassed, they feel that they're tortured. You know, I had a gentleman write to me tonight, and he said that he would sit and make those homophobic kinds of remarks, because, you know, he felt that same kind of homophobia towards gays because he was gay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he didn't want to have to be gay.
Exactly.
So,
that part.
Yeah, it was pretty discouraging, right?
Yeah, it's just so sad. We hear so many of those stories, and it's really sad. It doesn't help the situation. I guess they get caught up in it and don't know how any other way to react other than try to deflect it off of them and bring others down. It's really interesting how that happens, but sad. Really sad.
It is. And I just think that, you know, having gay marriage now, you know, it's in 6 different states. And I think that it's the way it should be. I mean, people sit and argue all the time that this is not what marriage is about. But, you know, I certainly know what marriage shouldn't be about. And I think when two people love each other, that's what it's about. If people want to spend their lives together, that's what it's about. And I don't think that sexuality is the issue. I think that's a lot of personal prejudice and man-made laws. And, you know, I know there's a huge religious conflicts over that. But, you know, at some point you just have to do what seems right. You know, there's a lot of religious conflicts. And I think that Patsy will be able to really confirm that for people. So if you do have questions next week for Patsy, I mean, she's really great at showing you through the scriptures. You know, I think that Patsy's really a hep chick because, you know, she's a very big believer in satisfying sex for Christian women. And she's really bold about it, you know, because she is going through the scriptures and explaining why women deserve to be sexually satisfied. And I think that's truly remarkable that she could find the stuff in the scriptures.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a lot of work on her part. In fact, I received one of her books. We'll talk about her books next week also, but I thought it was wonderful that here you have a woman who's really, you know, consultant for all these, you know, Christian marriages, letting women know that, you know, if you're in a marriage with a gay man, you don't have to stay there. You can get out.
Absolutely.
So, but like, for instance, you know, there's an article that came out, you know, from the Brooklyn Bishop, and he said that gay marriage law is sinful. You know, so of course you're going to have your religious people who are against gay marriage. And I think Patsy would probably be against it also. You know, she's not for women staying with a gay man, but I think she's also against homosexuality in that sense. But that's a Christian point of view. You know, I can't change the Christian point of view. But I think it's good when at least they understand that women who are married to gay men shouldn't be staying in them. And I'm looking at the bishop in New York and what he said about gay marriage. And it said, the children of our state deserve the best. We put in place public policies to ensure that children have the proper nutrition, the best education available, and are safe from harm's way. There is no question that our society genuinely values the young. Yet, despite these efforts, the number of young people suffering from emotional disorders is disconcerting, and our teen suicide rate is alarming. Sociologists and psychologists agree that stable families where a mother and father live together in a loving union are a key predictor of a child's future health, well-being, and success. In other words, this is the best or ideal circumstances for our children for which we should all strive. This arrangement just seems to be built into our DNA. Tragically, we no longer understand the primary purpose of marriage as an institution by which a man and women bring new life into the world and teach the child to become a productive citizen. In striving for that end, the man and woman discover their own mutual consolation. Tragically, we somehow have come to view marriage as legitimizing our individual need for love and affection. As a consequence, we have all witnessed a surge in numbers of divorce, single parenthood, and cohabitation outside of marriage. Not even 30 years ago, this would have been most unthinkable and certainly scandalous. I believe that passage of same-sex marriage is another nail in the coffin of marriage. It is destructive because we fail to view marriage in the context of a vocation, a calling to participate in the great enterprise of forming the next generation. Marriage is reduced to an empty honor. We who oppose the same-sex marriage are not callous to the very real human longings for friendship, affection, and belonging that proponents of this legislation espouse as rational marriage equality. Indeed, we, like other New Yorkers, discuss these issues with our friends, family, co-workers, and loved ones who have same-sex attractions. We have in part failed as the proponents of historical understanding of marriage as that between man and woman, precisely because we have sought to be sensitive to those who have same-sex attractions. Perhaps now we must speak more forcibly and clearly. As the chief shepherd of the Catholics in our city's two most populous boroughs, Brooklyn and Queens, the decision of our Catholic governor and state legislature to overturn the common understanding of marriage that, despite many developments over thousands of years, has always been understood between a man and woman, that there was virtually no public debate on the issue and the entire matter was concluded in just 30 minutes late on a Friday evening is disgraceful. As a protest, I have asked my collaborators not to bestow or accept honors, nor to extend a platform of any kind to elect a state official in all our parishes and churches for the foreseeable future. Our children in New York State deserve the best, and unfortunately there seem to be very few profiles in courage. So those were his comments, and he's the Bishop Nicholas DiMarzio. Now, what I really would like to know, we'll take a quick vote and see, you know, what the majority of people reading the news are saying in New York, should the bill have been passed. This is from the New York Daily News results. And this is very interesting. I just, you know, took the poll and said I agree the bill should needed to be approved, and that's only 15%. 85% said, no, I don't think that gay marriage should be legal. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
But of course, you know, the survey's on the page with the bishop making these comments. So maybe that has something to do with it. I'm not sure. But that's pretty sad to hear that only 15% of the people.
Yeah. I think there'll always be a large division there, you know, who approves and who doesn't approve. Because, you know, once upon a time, I would have been one of those people that would absolutely oppose it. Until, you know, life dealt me my hand of cards. And I went through being married to a gay husband. So, you know, I came out on the other side quite a different person. And especially trying to understand the situation.
Yeah, I'm trying to look here. They also say religious leaders bash gay marriage law and vow to ban Poles who supported the measure. I'm trying to say, it says here, religious leaders bash gay marriage law, vowed to ban Poles that supported measure. And let's see who's in that picture. It looks like, oh, that's Bishop Nicholas DiMarzio again. So that's Bishop DiMarzio. He said he's bashing it there. And it says the city's top Catholic clergy. But I'm sure there are other religious leaders besides Catholic, because I know that Orthodox Jews would be very much opposed to that also. And probably any kind of fundamentalist, you know, religious group. It says New York Archbishop Thomas Dolan said he was very disappointed, very saddened, and very worried by the developments that will allow same-sex partners to legally wed. I think for anyone, especially the state government, to tamper with something as sacred and timeless and as much a part of human condition as marriage is careless, Dolan said. So, you know, I was just curious, like, if these Catholic leaders came out against the pedophile priest as much as they did against gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because I really haven't seen hardly any comments against the pedophile priest, I think, since the whole issue started breaking about 8 or 10 years ago. And I know that we've had so many who have been arrested in the Philadelphia area, hundreds.
Wow.
And I haven't seen at all, you know, the church condemn them. And yet they're willing to condemn gay marriage. So, you know, I'm not quite sure, you know, where the balance here lies. But it seems like it's like an unbalanced situation. I think if anything that they should really be, you know, like I say, looking at things that really affect the youth when they're talking about how important it is to protect their youth. What have they done to protect the youth from this kind of sexual attacks? And that's like another thing that really bothers me is the gay, you know, they call it gay priests doing this stuff. And it has nothing to do with gay. You know, it's pedophiles who enter into the Catholic Church because it's a safe haven where to go. And then, you know, the blame goes to gay people. You know, it's just another problem. you know, when the people keep perpetuating that kind of a lie. So I think the Catholic Church really should do a lot of other kind of cleaning up before they sit and condemn gay marriage.
It would seem that way.
That's the way I see it. You know, you may disagree. Are you Catholic?
Am I?
Uh-huh.
No, I'm Christian, just general Christian church. I was raised in Church of Christ, in which many people actually refer to them as Southern Catholics. I don't know where that name came from, but if you look at the structure, it's very similar. It's a very conservative church, and, you know, it's there's a lot of good people in it. I'm certainly not going to bash that. However, I will say, because of my upbringing, I stayed in a marriage 10 years too long, and I was married for about 10 years. So, you know, I questioned myself and sort of just went with, okay, I made my bed. I need to lay in it, so to speak. I messed up, so this is the hand I've been dealt. This is how I deal with it. And, you know, thank goodness I come to the conclusion that life had to be better, that God didn't want me to live in misery. So what I did, I developed my own relationship with God, basically, and took a lot of the things I grew up with, and I just had to search. And what I was searching for was not only, you know, was divorce okay, but I was searching for myself because I had completely lost myself in the marriage, completely lost. You know, I didn't even know who I was. So in that search, it led me to a lot of, just a lot of greatness. It really did. It really did. And I, of course, as all know, I did end up getting divorced, and it was just so much peace about it. The only problem I had was, you know, why didn't I do it 10 years earlier? And I would have been spared a lot of the abuse. The pain, the frustration, aggravation, you know, all those things. But, it, you know, it's okay. That's part of my past. My past, as I tell all the women, does not necessarily dictate your future. There, you know, will be bumps in the road. And as you know, these types of relationships do leave some scars. But it's, you know, life is good. Life is really good. It takes a while to find that new normalcy. Like, you know, like so many other women, when I first talked to them, you know, it takes you back to that day and you realize, wow, boy, I've really come a long way. And it doesn't take that way, you know, long. When you get the right support and the right help, as we were talking in the chat oftentimes, it doesn't take that long. And if you try to do it on your own, it's going to take so much longer. You got to find the right support, and you can really pull through this. It's something completely
different. Well, I think a lot of it is now also depending on your situation as far as, you know, how the marriage ends. And I know that, you know, the new book that came out that I co-authored with Doug Dittmer, although Doug did most of the writing, I just was a contributor really, you know, but I put my name first because it's known in this field, but he really should get the credit. And it's called Over the Cliff, Gay Husbands and Straight Marriages. And one of the things that, you know, I try to emphasize to the men, you know, I have a chapter about moving on and best practices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's never going to be good news with this. And I tell all the men that, you know what, when you tell your wife this news, she's never going to be happy. So you have to expect that she's not going to be happy. But there's a better way to do it than other ways. And some ways are much worse than other ways. And I think a lot of how, you know, so many of these men are so worried how's it going to affect their relationship with their wives, with their children. But if they're responsible ex-husbands, I don't think it's going to be nearly as bad as they think. Because I think that, first of all,
they do math.
Huh? I'm sorry, what did you say?
You went out, the phone went out, I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay.
Didn't hear you.
All right, we're just having chat voices in the middle there. But, yeah, I think the thing is that if you have children and you have to still be a responsible parent and father and ex-husband and you can do all of that and, you know, move on with your life but yet not forget the life that you created behind you, it makes a whole difference in how people relate as far as their future relationships, you know, are concerned. But, you know, I tell men that, you know, you don't have to tell your wives everything. You don't have to go through every little detail that you went through in your life. right? As far as, you know, your sexual encounters with men.
Exactly.
Yeah. You don't have to now brag in front of your wife, oh, I met a nice guy, you know, like 2 weeks after you're into your news. I mean, there's a lot of things that guys do because they're in such a hurry. Because they've struggled with this for years, and I really do understand that concept. And, you know, they've been on the fence, and they don't understand. But at the same time, you know, they don't give their wives the same kind of healing time and time to accept the situation. So one of the things I would like to read tonight is one of the passages, because I just love this book, Over the Cliff. Not for the same reasons that, you know, the men are loving it. The men are loving this book. We're getting wonderful feedback because they can finally relate to other men who have had the same feelings, and that was really my purpose in doing this book. But I love it for the women who just can't believe that their husbands were ever doing anything or were ever out there or had ever cheated on them. I think a lot of these guys were really honest. But a lot of times these guys are still blaming their wives. And, you know, I wanted to read this one story. This is JP's story. I stumbled upon Bonnie's website and have been writing back and forth. She's asked me to contact you. This is, you know, the guy wrote to Doug. As you have been married, divorced, kids, and male relationships, et cetera, to get a male perspective. Here is a synopsis of my life. As she said, I just feel like I'm in a circle of crazy. That's from you, Misty. I love my girlfriend, but I'm not in love with her, and she knows this. I could stay in the relationship and stuff it down inside, but I know the same feelings would come back again. Religion is also a big issue with me, so that makes it even worse. As I look back, I started liking guys in middle school, but never did anything about it until I was 21. I ran away like a scared cat and came back. I had a few girlfriends, but never sex. I grew up in Southern Baptist, so family, religion, and society all played a part. I had a few male encounters later on, and then I married at 28. Things were going well for a while, for about 3 years. Then the feelings came back, among other issues, and we separated in July of 2002 and divorced a year later. Of course, she got the kids, and I was only allowed to see them on every other weekend and one night a week. She remarried in 2009 after over a year-long custody battle. I got 50-50 custody of my biological daughter. Between 2002 and 2009, I slowly came out and had 3 male relationships. Then I ran into a female who I had known off and on for 12 years. One thing led to another, and we moved in together in August 2009. Yes, she knew of my past relationships with guys. She has an 8-year-old and an 18-year-old living with us, plus my 10-year-old daughter. It was going okay for a while, but the sex has never been satisfying to me, nor has it really been for her. Every time we have an argument, she has to try to find a guy on the computer. The latest was that I caught her coming out of a movie theater with another guy. In July 2010, I found a Yahoo group that has been very helpful for me in my many ways, called Making Mixed Orientation Marriages Work. The last week of July 2010, I told my girlfriend why I've been distant and withdrawn regarding my gay feelings. This blew her mind as she thought my past was just something that I wanted to forget and go on. I explained to her that it will never go away. I can repress it, stuff it down inside, but it will never go away. So far, she has refused to join the group, but she tells me to say hi. We have discussed different ways to make the relationship work, such as adding another guy or letting each of us find someone else but still remain in the living arrangement as friends and roommates. Of course, she refused adding another guy but is open to finding someone else if that's what I want. One ground rule that I set up was not bringing anyone home. She can't guarantee to stay in the same living arrangement, though. Our lease is up in April 2011, so most likely the living situation will end then. I need to find some way to cohabitate until then and find a way to tell her so that she understands. In this case, it's mostly my fault if you want to just put blame. However, I do believe that in 99% of relationships, it does take two to break up a relationship. A good friend of mine and others have told me that I need to separate myself from the situation as it's causing a lot of stress on me. and just spend quality time with my daughter, just her and me. That's kind of where I'm at right now. However, she still wants us to work out and tries to make it work. In a way, I would like to make it work, but would want an open relationship more as friends, roommates. On the other hand, I feel it's not fair to her or me. I do have a daughter to consider as well. The group MMOMW, that's, you know, married, making mixed orientation marriages work, is definitely educational and has been a lot of communication. I'm not saying pickups don't happen, but that's not the primary purpose. There's a message board, but also chat times are at least 3 times per week. My feelings for men are more than physical. I just haven't found the right one yet. Yes, I love her and can even get aroused by her, but I'm thinking of guys where I just want to be done and want it to be done and over. It's not satisfying for me. I do have a married friend on the side, and I see him every once in a while and love being with him. It's very fulfilling and satisfying. I've had my endless hookup stage and not interested in that anymore. I want a monogamous relationship. As far as religion, I grew up Southern Baptist, and then I left the church as a young adult. I went to Church of God when we got married, and then Southern Baptist again. I was then told to leave the church, and I was separated, so I left the church again and found an Episcopal church, but had to move due to custody battle and got into this relationship. She was going to a Southern Baptist church. I have to get out of the church as it's not helping me at all. So Doug wrote, it's been less than a year, but in March of 2011, JP gave us an update on the situation. He said, after contacting you in September, my girlfriend moved out in October to be with the guy I caught her with coming out of the movies. And after she moved out, I quit the Yahoo group, MMOMW. It didn't appeal to me anymore. I also left the church in October 2010 and didn't go to church for a while, but then I went back to Episcopal churches. So Doug asked him, tell me about your childhood and adolescence. At what age did you start to think about same-sex attractions? And did you act on those feelings before marriage? And JP wrote, my parents divorced when I was 4 and I went to live with my mother, who remarried an abusive man, which I had to watch at times. I went back and forth living between my father and mother. My father got remarried as well. My mother divorced her second husband and got remarried again. Looking back, I began liking guys in middle school but didn't know what it was. I had girlfriends in 3rd grade, 5th grade, and high school. Yes, I had experiences before I got married, but never relationships. Doug said, at what age did you marry? JP said, beginning in the middle school, I always hung around my best friend, and he was the first experience at 21. But I ran away from it and came back. I hated gym class, and I'm not very mechanical. I grew up Southern Baptist with a rigid Republican father and with a mother who was liberal. Church, family, etc., all contributed to me getting married at 27, even though I had male experiences before then. The best thing that came out of the marriage was my daughter. Doug said, prior to marriage, did you consider yourself gay, straight, or bisexual? And he said, I thought of myself as straight, as I didn't want to think of myself any other way. Doug said, did you think that getting married would eliminate those feelings for men? And JP said, yes, I tried to stuff my feelings inside me until they came back. Doug said, was sexual activity with your wife satisfying? Did you have performance issues, or did it become something you wanted to avoid? JP said, it was for a while until continual arguments and couldn't please her no matter what. Gay feelings resurfaced. The last year of marriage, I was on the couch mostly. Doug said, what occurred in the marriage that brought your same-sex desires to the forefront? What did you do about it? And JP said, continual arguments, not being in love anymore, couldn't do anything to please her. I was on the computer a lot during that last year of marriage. I ended the marriage. And Doug asked, contrast the sexual feelings you had for your wife and the feelings you had for other men. JP said, sexual feelings for wife, girlfriend, I have to think about men. With men, it's passionate, romantic, and I can see myself with a man in a long-term relationship. Doug said, did you have sex with men while you were married? Did you consider it cheating, or did you feel it was not cheating? JP said, while I was married, no. Near the end of the marriage, I went on dates, but no sex. With a girlfriend in 2009 and 10, yes, I had sex with one guy several times. I didn't feel like I was cheating because I knew I wasn't in love with her. Doug said, did you feel a sense of frustration of being trapped in your own marriage? JP said, the last year of marriage, yes, I felt trapped with kids still in the picture. With girlfriend, again trapped, kids, wanted to work it out, but sex and feelings were not there. Doug said, do you think your wife sensed your frustration? He said, yes, she knew I was frustrated as she knew about the dates. Doug said, how did you eventually come out to your wife? JP said, wife, we had a big argument and I left to go on a date. With a girlfriend, yes, I just told her how I was feeling. She thought my past was over. I couldn't repress it anymore. Doug said, did she suspect anything prior to the time you told her? JP said, probably. We were never really disgusted that I remember. I was on the computer a lot during that last year of marriage. Doug said, how did your wife react when the truth was learned? JP said, she wanted me to be her husband, and I couldn't. Doug said, do your children know about your being gay? How did you come out to them, and how are they handling it? JP said, yes, I have read her books on gay fathers and have told her outright that I like guys. She is 10 and still trying to process it. Doug said, in retrospect, if you could turn back the hands of time, is there anything you would have done differently? And JP said, sure, to be proud of who I am sooner, not be ashamed, not gotten involved with another female, and spent that time with my daughter, just her and I, like I'm doing now. Doug said, have you found the self-fulfillment you were seeking? And JP says,
yes.
I think I am gay and proud. I still have fights within myself at times that it's wrong. Doug said, do you find someone or are you still looking? JP said, after my divorce, I had 3 male relationships that didn't work out for one reason or another. I seem to always choose the ones that are not good for me. I also fall in love with married guys. After my 3 male relationships, I tried a female relationship again, and that ended after about a year. I finally decided that I'm gay and proud of it. I'm not really looking for a relationship at this time, but if it comes about, I'm not against it. Doug said, could you give some advice to other husbands who are stuck in this situation and still don't know which way to turn? What would you tell them? And JP said, you need to be true to yourself no matter what. For those husbands with grown kids, your kids are grown, get out of a marriage and be happy. Those with kids still at home, try to work out some type of arrangement with the wife, even if it means divorce. You, your kids, and wife will be much happier in the long run. Doug said, what would you tell the wives of gay husbands who are so struggling to make sense of the situation? JP said, stop making it all about you. Your husband is hurting too. Set ground rules for both of you, but let the husband go and find himself. End the marriage, but don't take him to the cleaners, and let him have a real relationship with the children. Doug said, are you still friends with your wife, or did your relationship completely disintegrate? JP said, the wife is very angry on both sides. 9 years later, it is getting better very slowly. The girlfriend, we're still friends, but I'm trying to distance myself, but she wants to keep in contact as much as she can. And that was his story. What do you think?
Wow. I think that's a great story for many of the women that we work with and talk to, because so many of these men, you know, they do go for other women. And when that happens, it really gives the ex-wife a huge setback, because she thinks, well, maybe she's falsely accused and just let something else go that she shouldn't have, and maybe she should have worked harder, you know, once again putting herself inside the circle of crazy. When it happens often, you know. So I think that's a wonderful story for many of the women we work with to hear.
Well, you know, these guys are really confused and screwed up. Like, here's a guy who really knew that he wanted men. Then he suppressed it. Then he had a family. Then he went to another woman. Then he has to deal with another family that's not really a family. I mean, you know, it's really very sad when you think about all of the possibilities there. So, you know, it's just that a matter, I think, that you have to know yourself, and men have to know that these feelings are just not going to go away. You know, if you have gay feelings, and here he acted on them, he was happy with them. I mean, I don't even know why he felt the need to, you know, have to really go and get, you know, involved again, you know, with a relationship, but he did. I mean, it just screws up my whole mind thinking about this. But, I think that, you know, one of the things I really have thought about is that when these guys say that their wives don't want to have sex with them anymore, and they do blame their wives for, like, sexual rejection, which, you know, maybe that's true in some cases, but I want to explain why. It may be true that women are sexually rejecting their husbands, but I think that it's not because they don't want to have sex. It's because the sex has deteriorated so much, and a lot of these guys are just not great in bed. I mean, they really do try, but they're not straight. They're gay, and it's not their preference. You know, it's not natural to them. And they may make love to you primarily out of the fact that they really love their wives. That's one reason. And the other reason is primarily because they want to prove to themselves they're not gay. And they think that by having sex with a woman, that means that they couldn't possibly be gay. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean that they're actually having good sex. You know, they could just be performing sex. You know, so many of our women describe sex as being very functional. You know, there's no passion involved. There's no foreplay involved. You know, there's very little of much of anything involved except, you know, very limited sexual contact,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a very quick amount of time, and if there is even that at all. And so after a while, you know, a woman can really feel sexual rejection, and I do understand that, you know, and she feels that her husband's not excited by her or doesn't want to be touching her in certain places or making her feel that there's something wrong with her, then naturally she's not going to feel excited about sex. And then other women, when they suspect something is going on with their gay husbands, well, they don't want to have sex because they're afraid that it might, you know, do something harmful to them as far as sexually transmitted diseases. You know, they just put it out of their mind and decide, well, that, you know, something's going on with him. I'm not going to be having sex with him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the men take this instead as, oh, my wife's sexually rejecting me, therefore I have to do something. Oh, I'll turn to a man and justify it that way. Have you seen that, Misty?
I think we've seen it all. You know, that's a good point. I mean, it's just, there's so many different plays on it. There's so many different, you know, it goes back to complication. You know, you have a phrase. I think what comes to my mind is, you know, it doesn't have to be this complicated. Relationships don't have to be so complicated. And, you know, when you find that right person, as you know, and you can well attest to with you and your relationship currently now, it's not that complicated, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, that's why, you know, that's my new mantra. Life was never meant to be this complicated, period.
Exactly.
That
it's just so many
not
different
what a relationship is.
Yeah, there's so many ways to make it so complicated. You know, I just shake my head sometimes. It just doesn't, excuse me, it just doesn't have to be so complicated.
I think, you know, when I see how much women are willing to settle for in life, and not only just with these marriages, but with so many other relationships that are unfulfilling to women, and you think that women really should think that they deserve better than this, but we're just by nature, I think we're nurturers, and we always want to fix things and make them right. You know, we're brought up socialized this way, that, you know, women are to be, you know, loving men and taking care of men. And even though it's changed a lot, you know, since I was growing up, there's still a lot of the same thoughts going on, you know, that women believe that this is, you know, what their job is, to take care of men and to make them happy and to fix all their problems. And if they try hard enough, then these men are going to love them even more. And then they'll feel fulfilled, and that, you know, it's just such a screwed up thing. Don't you think so?
Absolutely. You know, it's just, you know, if you want to dance inside the circle of crazy for all your life, stay in a marriage that's complicated. You know, it's for both sides, it just doesn't have to be that complicated. And there's, you know, it's not easy to tell your wife. It's not easy as a wife to discover this, but you're not doing any favors by hiding it and just keep covering up one thing after another and building a foundation of complications, building a foundation of something you have to hide behind. It's not fun. It's like, you know, I can't imagine having to look over my shoulder all the time to see what story I've told or to try to hide things, to hide who I am. It's just really sad that everybody deserves to live their truth. And when you live your truth, things are not so complicated.
One of the,
it just takes too much energy to hide things.
Several points I wanted to bring up from that story about JP. And I want to reassure my women. And like I say, not everybody agrees with me, but I don't really care. Because on certain things, I'm unshakable as far as my foundation of belief. When they say it takes two people to make a marriage, as he was saying, 99% of the cases, you know, it takes two people to make a marriage. I do agree with that, but not in these marriages.
Mm-hmm.
Because these are not true marriages. These are not authentic marriages. When you have two straight people, you're totally dealing under totally different circumstances. But when you're dealing with a gay husband who shouldn't be in the marriage to start with, and who's looking for all kinds of excuses and reasons why not to step up to the plate in a way that husbands are supposed to, and then looking to find fault with you rather than accept responsibility for himself and using that against you, no, that is not called to make the marriage work. That's called, one, sinning to pull the marriage apart. So I never want a woman to think that I haven't tried hard enough or I wasn't a woman enough or I could have done more. It wouldn't matter what you would have done, it just wouldn't have worked because you're not gay. And a gay man can never be happy in a marriage with a straight woman on a regular basis as a straight man can. Do you agree with that, Misty?
I do agree with that. It's you know, some people say they can make a mixed oriented marriage work. I was not one of those women. I my heart stayed broken. I felt like less of a woman. You know, being Plan B, once you learn that, you know, your partner is gay, I mean, then you're Plan B. Yeah, he may love you, but what type of love? You know, I believe there's all sorts of different types of love. You know, how does he love you? Does he love you like a sister, like a family member, or does he love you like someone that he wants to be romantic with and intimate with? And those are two very different types of love. And it's not easy to be in that type of situation when one wishes for romance and the other one wishes for basically the love of a family member or a roommate. It goes together like oil and water. You know, it just rarely mixes. You can try to mix it, but it eventually separates again. And
yeah, I mean, it's just something.
It's so hard.
It's just something that's not, you know, not, it just doesn't mix like you say. And so that's one thing that I didn't agree with. And also when, you know, he said in there, you know, be fair to your husbands. Okay, I'll go for that. And they have to be fair to their wives and children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a gay thing. That's a man thing. You know, I see so many men who just walk away and think that they don't have responsibilities other than to give $50 a week for children. And that's not what being a father is about. Fathers need to be responsible in an emotional way and a financial way. And if you have to sacrifice because of that, well, that's just tough luck. I mean, you know, that's life. I mean, unfortunately, there's always consequences for everything that happens in life. But the consequences shouldn't be for your children to take or for your, you know, ex-wife to take. You know, if unfortunately, you were confused at the time you got married or you didn't know what would happen. I'm not finding any fault with that as long as you're responsible afterwards and you do owe them something. You know, it just really burns me up when these guys take all this legal action against their wives. I mean, you know, they can sit and complain all they want, but I don't usually see that happening. Or if their wives get a settlement, these guys are so angry because their wives were stay-at-home wives who raised the children, who took care of the family, who kept the house, and the guys are, and I hear guys say, well, they didn't work to earn it. You know, this was my money. I'm the one who worked to earn it. They don't deserve it. I mean, that makes me ill. I mean, it really does make me ill. And so I think that if guys are more responsible and they would do the right thing, then their families could heal sooner and their children would be more understanding. But once again, you can't expect the children just to run and accept it either. And I will say, Misty, that, in fact, I was working a little bit today on trying to get something moving for children of gay fathers. mm-hmm. because I've had so many requests from young adults that they need support. You know, we've really underestimated their situation as far as, you know, the help that they need. And I know that it's been almost a year since we had Crystal come on our show, and I've had some wonderful, you know, people write mm-hmm. to me who really appreciated hearing her and how she felt, because they're going through their own emotional issues with this as far as their future relationships, how they feel with their fathers, how they feel about the trust issues, how they feel betrayed by the breakup of the marriage. You know, there's so many different issues they have to handle. So I was just, in fact, earlier today making a list of some of their names to see if they want to get moving on getting the support group going. And, you know, they need support too. I mean, it's not just, you know, the ex-wife who has to make all these adjustments, but the kids are going through their own trauma also.
Absolutely.
And especially the kids who were torn because they did know before their mothers knew and didn't want to say anything because mm-hmm. they felt responsible for the breakup in the marriage. If they would say something, you know, they're living with guilt, they're living with feelings of insecurity, that, you know, of betrayal, that they betrayed, you know, their family. There's so many different things, you know, so I am looking to get that moving. So if any of our women are listening who have, you know, adult children who would be interested, please make sure you email me at bondk@aol.com, and so that I'll be able to, you know, make them part of this new group that I'm, you know, spearheading to try to get support for the adult children and, you know, children who are in their teens for this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they all have issues. I mean, these problems just don't go away. You know, they have to be addressed. And I'm more convinced now than ever that, you know, lies really do tear families apart. You know, which is a very big change in my own thinking, because for 25 years I thought that, you know, you have to be careful when you tell the children, wait till they're older. You know, that was my thinking for many years, and now I realize it was not the right thinking. That children need to know as soon as possible. And I'm not saying they have to know anything about sex per se, but they have to know that their fathers, you know, are gay. And that's why the marriage is ending. So they're not sitting there thinking it's them or thinking it's their mother or thinking there's something terrible going on. You know, and if we're ever going to change people's attitudes towards gay, it has to start in your own household.
Absolutely.
And I think you can be honest about it and tell your kids, look, this isn't how I hoped that it was going to turn out. You know, I wasn't sure about this. It took years to develop in me. It doesn't, you know, you don't know from the moment that you're born. Sexuality develops at different rates. You know, I was hoping I could change it. You know, I loved your mother. I loved you. I was hoping that love would make a whole difference. And, you know, but tell them something. Just don't sit there, you know, and not tell them. I mean, I think that's wrong. What do you think?
I do too. I think when you withhold information and you keep secrets, I think secrets can make a whole family sick. I mean, it sets the whole family up to be at odds against each other when the secrets come out. And secrets usually do find a way of coming out. And my thought is, you know, you can tell something in very age-appropriate language. You don't have to get all into the, you know, the grimy details of everything. You don't have to do that. Children, the younger, the simpler answer to give. You know, they just speak in their appropriate language, go from there, and allow them to ask questions. I think that's the most important thing, is to allow them to ask questions. And mostly they want to ask questions about, you know, the family being together and, you know, who's their parents, and you still have to assure them, you know, that both are always, will be the parents. You know, it's just the structure's going to be a little different. You know, living arrangements are going to be a little different. So, you know, children, they need that reassurance. But when you go to such drastic extremes to keep secrets, you know, it eventually comes out. And when it does, you have to ask yourself, if this does come out, are my children going to not trust me? How are they going to accept this? How will I explain it from there? And, you know, sometimes, you know, there are exceptions to every rule. There really are exceptions to every rule. I can't say that there's a black and white, clear-cut answer to this. But on the most part, I mean, secrets are not going to be healthy for the family. And it gives you a chance to, you know, come out and come open to everyone. And a lot of times, children know. As you and I both know, we've worked with women that have got adult children, and once the children become adults, they tell the mother, you know, I knew it all the time, and I felt guilty because I knew it because I found this or I found that. So, you know, sometimes adult children don't know. But, you know, you've got the potential for either situation, and oftentimes children do know something's going on. So it's, I say, you know, let it out there, put it out there, and repair the family. Repair it. And, you know, the family's going to be different, but repair. Let each person have their time to process it and repair however they need to be. And, you know, hopefully everyone will come together closer, get along better, maybe some understanding. And it's not going to patch the marriage up. I mean, that's not what we're talking about here. But, it's, you know, you're going to be a parent to that child together. You still need to find ways to co-parent, if at all possible. So it's, you know, truth is best, in my opinion.
Right. It takes a lot of understanding and acceptance, and you can't expect that women are going to understand and accept it overnight. It's going to take time. You know, it's the loss of your marriage. It's the loss of a man you love in many cases. It's the loss of the family, hopes, and dreams. In some cases, women, in many cases, women have to move out of their home that they've been in for years. They have to now become single parents. There's a lot of adjustments, a lot of adapting, a lot of anger to get past. And, yes, sometimes women do act out. But you know what? You know, it's a situation that brings that about. And we always tell women, if you want to vent, vent to us. Come to our chat rooms, because it doesn't pay to vent in front of your children. That's not going to help them. That'll hurt them. But, you know, we know people are human. You know, and as much as we try to bite our tongues, there are times when you just feel so frustrated. And I think that one of the reasons why people feel, you know, women feel frustrated is because they feel like they're so trapped in their life now as far as being a single mother, having to take on all the responsibilities, and their husbands are out there having a good time. And, you know, I can see where that resentment comes in. I mean, I see that a lot even in straight marriages. It has nothing to do with the gay thing. You know, but, you know, when a husband's not around and he's out dating or whatever the case is, and the wife's home, you know, raising the children, it's very difficult and it's very hard, and there is going to be anger and resentment. So there's a lot of communication that needs to keep going on. The whole thing is, when the communication breaks down, you have no chance. So at least if you're able to communicate, able to get past some of those initial feelings, you don't have to forgive and you don't have to understand. You just have to communicate, and eventually the other stuff will come, you know, come about. And if both parties can, you know, just take a deep breath and see, what can I do to make the situation better? And what can we do for the children to make sure that the children are feeling safe and secure? That should be the primary concern of both parents.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some hard issues, but as the weeks progress, we'll be talking about them. But we're going to be ending our show for tonight. And Misty, I hope you have a wonderful week.
You as well.
And if anybody has any questions or comments, feel free to write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll be happy to respond to you or send you out the newsletters or any information you need. And also, don't forget, next Sunday night for our holiday show, we have two wonderful women who will be on, including one of them is Patsy Ray. And Patsy Ray is just wonderful as far as giving the Christian point of view. So if you are a Christian woman and you need any help with that, Patsy will be here. And we're really excited about that, as she's about to launch her own hour show on another one of my programs called Books of Excellence. Patsy's going to be using that an hour from there on Tuesday evenings. So, Misty, I hope you have the best week. How's the heat down in Florida?
It's pretty hot. It's really hot.
You have a lot of bugs coming out?
Mm-hmm. Everywhere, of course.
Are they flying all over and biting you?
Yes, sir. Yes, of course. They're the biting variety. Florida's
That's
full
what scares birds. Me about the South, and really does.
Yeah.
You know, when I go to the South, I see all kinds of bugs that I never see up here.
Yeah, we have lots of bugs. We have lots of those and lizards. So
how about alligators? Are they walking around too?
Yeah. You see them often.
Mm-hmm. How about the little geckos?
Yeah, you see those often too. I had one in the house last night. So that's not always fun. You know, they find a way to get in. If they can only find a way to get out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like them in with me. They need to live outside.
Scary place, Florida, in the summer.
It is. Lots of creatures.
Well, everybody, we hope you have a wonderful week, and hang in there till next week. Support's always available. All you have to do is look for it. And, Misty, say your good night words.
Good night, and love to all.
And good night, everybody. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.